ESPN2. Guys, come into JCPenney and get ready for the holiday season. Wednesday through Saturday, select Dockers signature khakis are just $36.99. Or get 50% off select Arizona and St. John's Bay apparel. Plus, get $10 off with coupon when you spend $25 or more on select items throughout the store and at jcp.com. Hurry in. These deals can't be beat. JCPenney.
Coupon valid 11-8 to 11-12. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices while supplies last. Some exclusions apply. See store jcp.com for details.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on. NASCAR News now.
We've kind of known about this for a while, not really a big secret, but it's official now. Eric Almirola is joining Stewart Haas Racing for the 2018 season, and he's going to drive the 10 car.
As I've gotten older, now that I understand, I really know why, because he would send me to go do all of his tests, and so Zippy would take me, and we'd go to Lakeland and New Smyrna and go do a lot of testing, and I'd run hundreds and hundreds of laps in that old 20 Home Depot car, and that was really, you know, part of the grooming process for me to get me to where I'm at today. And so for it to all come full circle and for me to now have the chance to race for somebody that I've looked up to for a long time as a race car driver, and now to call him my friend and my owner is really special.
I think the NASCAR garage is going to look the same in 15 to 20 years, at least the scrolling ticker on the TV during race coverage, if TV is still a thing. The reason is babies. Babies everywhere. This time, Kyle Larson announcing this week his second one is on the way. The 2018 NASCAR race starting times was announced this week, and it seems like 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern is the sweet spot for most races. Of course, there are exceptions, like night races. And don't forget, next year, we are going to see the playoffs begin at Las Vegas, their second race date of the year, and a road course at Charlotte. Hopefully, they will iron out all the layouts before then. And the whole thing kicks off with the 60th running of the Daytona 500.
The Final Lap.
Staples knows you can't afford to have your business slow down over the holidays. New customers aren't delivered down your chimney. You won't find new accounts in your stocking. No, just because it's the holidays doesn't mean you can stop marketing your company. So promote your business with eye-catching print materials, like presentations, brochures, postcards, and promotional products from Staples. And now save 20% off print and marketing services orders of $50 or more. Sounds like you got at least one thing on your holiday list. Staples. It's pro time. Exclusions apply. Ends 12/2/17.
The JCPenney Holiday Challenge is here. Find great gifts for your family at amazing prices. Get 50% off Arizona apparel for the family and Cook's Electrics for $9.99 after mail-in rebate. And Friday and Saturday only, pick up Vofer boots for just $14.99. Plus, get $10 off with coupon when you spend $25 or more. Get everything on your list for less than you think. JCPenney. Coupon valid 11-8 to 11-12. Some exclusions apply. One rebate per item per address except in Rhode Island. Rebate given at the register in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Miami-Dade County, Florida. See store jcp.com for details.
6:05, welcome back in. It is the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, who's not normally here on Friday during the big hour, but it's not Friday, it's Thursday. It's very confusing here in the KGYM studios today. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com joining us as well. The big hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. 14 years in business to Steve Anderson and his crew there. As always, a big thank you. And we'll kick things off before we get to Iowa and Wisconsin with former Hawkeye wide receiver Kevin Casper joining us on the program now. And Kevin, thanks for taking the time to catch up with us here a little bit. And you were in Iowa City last Saturday night. Can you believe what you saw?
Oh man, it was awesome, surreal moment. Spent the day with the coaches and, you know, practice and whatnot on Friday, and There was a lot of excitement, to say the least. There's a lot of excitement. Just people, we were definitely ready. Staff was ready. Kids ready. And, I'm not surprised. I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised we put up 55. But that I think everybody was pretty surprised on that. But, thanks for having me, first off. It was just awesome, absolutely awesome game to be at. That's for sure.
What's it like, Kevin, as a former player, when you come back? You talked about hanging out with the coaches, and we hear often that it's a family environment at Iowa. That's one of the lures that, you know, for recruits and their families and things like that. What was the day like, and what former teammates did you get to hang out with, and what did you guys do?
Well, first off, I was there with my son. My brother came too, and there's not many kids that can say, or, you know, former athletes that can say they graduated, 17 years ago, and the same staff is still there. I have a lot of NFL buddies, and I really don't think anybody had that opportunity because, you know, Coach Ferentz is the longest tenured coach. So when you go back, it's just awesome. It's hanging out with the coaches. One of my best friends is LeVar Woods, who's now the special teams coach, has been there for a while. And then Chris Doyle, my same strength coach, I love sitting down chatting with him. Coach Ferentz, obviously, the whole crew, and even going behind the scenes with the people that a lot of people don't recognize and see, those like Rita, who's the secretary, and Greg Morris and Russ, all the guys that make Iowa football run, Paul Federici, John Streif, all these guys. I love going back and seeing it's more than just the coaches, more than just the players. It really is a family-oriented place like no other. And sometimes people get annoyed, like, oh, man, you Hawkeyes are – you guys are nuts. And that's all right. I like to hear it because all the extra former players and just the people walking around. I'm in Arizona, and they're walking around with Hawkeye stuff on all the time. And it is. It's a family-oriented place, and that's what drew me there. And I absolutely love it, and I'm very, very fortunate to come back 17 years later to come see the same staff. And the hardest part going back is just I get the chills and just saying it right now because I want to put on a Hawkeye helmet and go out there and just crack somebody's head. So it's hard to sit there and watch it, but I still have the passion, and I love getting back there for sure.
You mentioned 17 years is a long time. How many people recognized you last weekend walking around?
Oh, there was quite a few. Because when one person tells the next, that's what it is. I don't have the platinum white blonde hair anymore, so a few people had to look. Hey, you still have it? But I don't have my signature football haircut. But I saw a number of players. Obviously, LeVar Woods, and then Colin Cole and Desmond King. My son got to take a picture with him, and then a number of Jared DeVries. A lot of great Hawkeyes. And it's really cool to get to see them and see how they're doing. And everybody has families. We're not at the field house in the sports column, you know, hanging out and working out and whatnot. But it was just fun to catch up with, you know, a number of guys.
For those listeners that don't remember when Kevin was here, and you mentioned Chris Doyle, you were really his first, I don't want to say project, but you went to the combine. He really prepared you well. You ran, I think, a 4.4 there, 43-inch vertical leap, something like that. You know,
43 and a half, but I can't
okay,
remember,
see?
But.
I'm glad you remember that. But, I mean, talk a little bit about that. Iowa's had so much success getting guys ready for that next level. You were kind of the first guy to go through that with Coach Doyle, or one of the first few guys.
Yeah, he came in my junior year, so I was fortunate to play 3 years under Hayden Fry and their staff.
Yeah.
And then Chris Doyle and Ferentz came in. And I mean, I can't explain how much they transformed me as just turning into a man and maturity and just understand what it takes, because Coach Ferentz came in with that NFL attitude, what it took to get to the next level, get to the NFL. And Chris Doyle, I mean, he's the best in the business. I mean, those are facts, just not my opinion. And he really did get me prepared mentally and physically for the next level. And even for combine, just getting me ready. And just obviously there's a lot of technique and whatnot, and but just the strength through the junior year and the senior year, and really developing me as a person, as a player, as an athlete, because that's more of an athlete when you get to the combine. And it was pretty neat. I set three NFL combine records, and for me that was a big deal. I hold only one of them still, but you know, it was a cool thing. And without Chris Doyle, for those years spending so much time with him and just learning from him, I mean, there's no way I would have done what I did on the field or obviously at the combine too. And that carried me over to the NFL for sure.
Former Hawkeye wide receiver Kevin Casper joining us on the program tonight. Take us back. You're an Illinois kid. And what was that process like in making the decision to, you were a walk-on at first, right, at Iowa?
Yeah, it wasn't much of a decision because not like people were knocking on my door and calling me. Back then, nobody was tweeting me, that's for sure. But I didn't have many opportunities. When I say many, I mean zero. Only Eastern Illinois was, they were talking to me about possibly being a kicker. I was a former soccer player majority of my life. So they were kind of entertaining that idea of maybe offering me a scholarship to go kick for them. But I did ask them if I can play receiver. They said no, they're pretty stacked at that position. Chuck Long from University of Iowa gave me the opportunity to walk on. And from there, I mean, kind of rest is history. I told Chuck Long in the basement of Hinsdale South High School, where I went to high school, I said, if you give me an opportunity to walk on, I promise you I'll lead. I'll be the all-time leading reception, you know, guy at University of Iowa. And after we played Northwestern back in the day and I broke that record, Chuck Long, who was, I think, in Oklahoma at that point, sent me an email and said, hey, do you remember, blah, 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 told a story about it. And I'm like, you kidding me? I can't believe you remembered. And it was just a great opportunity. And I knew about Iowa and their walk-on, the guys that get opportunities. And that's all they wanted. I've always asked for an opportunity, and I teach my kids the same thing. All you can ask in life is for an opportunity, and then what can you do with it? And that's what I wanted. They gave me an opportunity, and I ran with it.
Kevin had over 1,000 yards in 2000. Other than Marvin McNutt, those are the only two receivers in the Kirk Ferentz era to surpass 1,000 yards in a season. Early on, 99, I think you guys won one game, I know, against Northern Illinois. I think LeVar had the interception or fumble recovery return for the touchdown. I remember that one. And then 2000, you got the big win at Penn State. You beat a ranked Northwestern team. And then you kind of left, but when you left, did you see what was coming next? That 2001 season was obviously the Alamo Bowl, and then 2002 was just a historical year.
Yeah, my senior year, I mean, we all bought in the system. We beat Penn State, we beat Northwestern, we beat Michigan State. That was one of the best times when we beat them. I know everybody rushed the field for the blackout game, and I was one of them on the field. But when we beat Michigan State, even though we were 0 and whatever, and then we beat them, everybody rushed the field. And I'm like, I got to experience that. And that was awesome. And it was one of those things where we bought into the system and we knew that it was going in the right direction. I mean, he got his guys in. It was different because in the Hayden Fry area towards the end, it definitely was just, we kind of knew it was the end of his career and whatnot. So when Ferentz came in, he demanded specific things that, all right, we got to be the best. We got to be on time. We got to be accountable for one another. And now all of a sudden it started clicking. And then we started winning. I think we won four of the last five games, whatever, against them, and winning at Happy Valley against good team, Northwestern, you know, great team, Michigan State at that time. So it was kind of neat beating these teams. And I knew that following year these guys are going to be ready, and then the rest is history. Because they, man, what a way to turn around a program, Coach Ferentz did, and he's the best coach in the business, and I love that dude. He's great.
Hey, we rushed the field in 1999 after the Northern Illinois win too. Don't forget that. the student
and
section.
Because I know LeVar will get mad if you don't know. You guys should remember this.
Oh yeah.
It was a blocked field goal.
Okay.
94 yards, right?
And I think he said he ran 111 yards, but I think it was more like 70 or something. And then dove from, he says, about the 12-yard line, but I think he dove from the 6-yard line in Superman, and we all picked him up, and he was excited. And it was that was such a cool moment. Yeah, but we didn't have many of those, so we had to relish that's for sure.
You mentioned that transition process. What was it like going from playing for Hayden Fry to Kirk Ferentz, and what was he like in those early years at Iowa?
Well, he came in and right away he demanded excellence from day one. And he said, we're going to change this program around. We changed even the times when we met, the times that we had off, our lifting program. So everything changed more like an NFL type of, schedule. And he really, it was just more being accountable for one another, accountable for your coaches, accountable for yourself, accountable for your teammates. And I think that was the biggest difference. And as soon as we started buying into the system and treating it more like, not, I mean, it was fun, but more like a job and more serious. As soon as you start doing that, then you have more fun because you get more opportunities to play and you get more opportunities to win. And that's when it became exciting. And as soon as you got that one win under your belt against Northern, then it's like, this is awesome. You know, because we had it early when I first got there. we had some great years. I think we were ranked number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, something like that. And then all of a sudden that dropped off. So to get back even just that one win to kind of get our feet wet, man, it was a great taste. And so the young guys got to see that and then beat in Michigan State and Penn State and some of those schools my senior year. Then those kids, those younger guys really got to see what it's like, and they want to do everything in the weight room, everything in the classroom, everything on the field to try to get that good taste in your mouth and win some games.
Kevin, did you guys know that Coach Fry was ill or wasn't, you know, himself towards the end? And what was that like going through that with a legend? I mean, he's such a legendary figure in Iowa football.
Yeah, I none of us knew at that time that he was sick. Hayden Fry was, Hayden Fry is just a classic guy. He's about as good of a guy you're ever going to meet. It's amazing. I have some great stories even years later about bringing my parents back, and he knew their names. I'm thinking to myself, like, how the heck does he? I don't have that capability to do that. But having Hayden Fry say, "Hey, Ed Lee, how you doing?" and shake their hands. I mean, he's that type of person. He loved us. He loved the players, and he would have done anything for us. And he didn't treat anything different, you know, as far as our last years. He was always in there. He always had a smile on his face. He always had, I mean, you know, Hayden, he had those funny, cracking jokes and little sayings that he had, and he never stopped saying that. So he hit it pretty well because nobody knew. And, man, I'm just very, very fortunate to say I got the opportunity to play with two unbelievable coaches, not just at Iowa, but in the history of coaching. And it's pretty neat to say that.
Is there a moment for you that stands out? Is it though that senior year at Penn State or Michigan State or Northwestern? I could tell you guys were making progress from the 99 game against Nebraska at home, where I can't remember that big running back, but he just seemed like he ran all day. And to the game where you guys played in Lincoln, I think you had a touchdown in Lincoln, if memory serves me correct.
Yeah, they were ranked pretty high. I don't know if they were 1-2 or whatever. We went down and Scott Mullen, the quarterback, little fade route, and you know, went up 7-0, and you know, that was pretty awesome because it was in that 110,000 people, whatever, in their stadium, and you know, we ended up losing that game, but we started off good. I have so many memories though in Kinnick. I think the biggest one for me is before, when I was just a walk on. I never wore a Tiger Hawk helmet. I never put anything on. My mom and dad took me to the University of Iowa, and I just wanted to see it, if this is a place I can walk on. I remember we walked down to the field, and it was just an awesome moment. And I kind of just ran around. I said, I can see myself scoring touchdowns. My mom and dad took 1,000 pictures, and it was just really neat to be out there. There's nobody else in the stadium, and I said, I want to do this. I want to score touchdowns. I want to play for the University of Iowa, and that was one of the cool things in Kinnick. And then obviously, our senior year, winning, you know, just beating Michigan State on senior night, having my mom and dad walk with me to the 50-yard line where I did so many battles out there, and having them next to me, my family was so important to me. So to share that with them, I mean, that was one of my coolest moments too. But I've a million of them, but I'm sure you guys don't have 4 hours to talk about all everything.
Now, we would have if we would have called you earlier today. 157 career receptions. I know you were probably holding your breath with Khalil Hill, but he wound up with 152. But how long did you think you'd wind up holding that record before it was broken?
You know, ideally, my son is 13, so I was thinking to myself, what better way to have someone break a record than my son's a pretty darn good receiver. So I was thinking to myself, like, okay, how many years before he becomes a, you know, wide receiver at the University of Iowa? I tell him to get save number 87 for him. And so, you know, it stays for a while, but it's one of those things where I have the 82. It was me and Marv McNutt. We both have 82 catches. And then I always look when people start getting close to that 13 in the game, I want somebody maybe tie it and maybe not necessarily break it. But, you know, records, obviously, they're made to be broken. So it's going to happen one day or another. But it's been pretty cool to be able to hold some records for quite a while.
Do you remember who you had the 13 against?
Ohio State.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Everything.
Yeah, it all comes back. And then I had, I think, 12 my senior year. So it was pretty cool. Yeah, and back then, the funny thing is, We had one of the up and coming linemen. I just ran into Eric Steinbach. He's another great dude, and back when they were freshmen, we had just a terrible young guys. We had a guy named Robert Gallery, Eric Steinbach, Bruce Nelson. They became the biggest stud linemen in probably the country. But when they were freshmen, they were just little, you know, they're guys that didn't really know what's going on. So that was our freshmen. That was the guys of freshmen, and they grew up to be, like I said, one of the best lined them tandem probably ever. I mean, those guys were some studs.
Still one of the all-time greats at Iowa, Kevin Casper. Appreciate catching up with you. Thanks, Kevin.
Yep, no problem. Great talking to you. Go Hawks.
Number 87. The very first Iowa game that I ever covered when I was at the Daily Iowan was in 2000. That was Robert Gallery's first start on the offensive line. And kind of in the
from tight end, right?
Footnote that week, yeah. Footnote, and it was also the game at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington where John Buecher threw for like 470 yards, and they wound up, Indiana smoked them.
Yep.
But people were, hey, something's going on here. This team's close to, and it's funny, Rob, you were there with me as well on Tuesday because Kirk Ferentz was looking back on last week, and he brought up Nate Kading and that 2000 season. Kading was the honorary captain last week, and he said there were some pretty rocky moments for him in that 2000 season, and then the Penn State game, he came up huge, and he took off, and the team kind of took off with him.
Yeah, that was I remember Kyle McCann. They had a really good game plan up at Happy Valley, and they did a lot of quarterback draws and got him free. And that I remember being in that little outpost that they have for their for the visiting media there. That little cinder block house it's connected to the locker room, and I can still remember the Kirk Ferentz, you know, screaming and guys yelling, and that was kind of a breakthrough win for them. And that team. You talk about guys like LeVar Woods, Matt Bowen, who a lot of people know now that works for ESPN. Those guys were all on that team. They were all part of that foundation for Kirk Ferentz that, you know, 19 years later is still going.
And I caught up with Derek Pegel a couple years ago at Fry Fest too. And Kevin Casper, that was a great guy to have on because the teams that were around, the players that were around, the crossover from Hayden Fry to Kirk Ferentz. And you know, I haven't really heard too many players say that, what Kevin Casper did, about from day one when Kirk Ferentz walked in the door. It was almost like Iowa became an NFL team from the preparation standpoint. And Hayden Fry was an old school guy and probably had an old school approach to things like strength and conditioning and weightlifting. And Kirk certainly sounds like he had a plan from the get-go. And that was a good point with Kevin Casper. How many guys can say they go back to their alma mater 17 years later and essentially the same coaching staff as head coach anyway? Some of the assistants have moved on. And a nice Chuck Long name drop there as well. He was on the gym class earlier today. Chuck's got a new book out. And you want to go, if you missed that segment with Scott and Mark, you can listen to the podcast at KGYMradio.com for Chuck Long and Kevin Lehman, and they had somebody else on with them too today. They had a ton of guests on the gym class earlier today. On a one-hour program. You gotta be kidding me. Come on. 6:25, we'll step aside. Kyle's gonna come in. He'll have your next Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and then we'll finish up strong here on what is normally a Friday staple of the program, the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Back with more after this.
As GIs returned from overseas and families began to boom, young Willa Dickens began honing his watchmaking craft at a highly regarded jewelry store on a bustling corner in downtown Iowa City. He worked steadily behind his jeweler's glass, eventually taking over the business. And as his reputation grew, so did his family. Sons Terry and Tim spent afternoons at his knee, learning about gemstones, precious metals, and most importantly, how to properly treat a customer. And as the decades passed, the three of them, along with a remarkably dedicated staff of friends, as well as Willa's granddaughter Kate, continued the tradition of excellence and integrity begun at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers in 1947. Now, as they celebrate their 70th year, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say congratulations to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you.
Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, why have you been shredding for hours?
The boss said we should cut costs, Mr. Employee of the Month.
How does this cut costs?
These are the expense reports for the whole year.
You shredded them all?
Thanks to me, our expenses this year are zero.
If you don't mind hiring Daves, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Congratulations going out to Ken in Marion, by the way. He won our second pair of tickets to see Hairball at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. So it should be a great show next Saturday. Tickets still available on sale either at the Ice Arena or at the box office or online through the website. Back with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in, normally joining us on Fridays at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire, but we're not going to be on the air tomorrow. High school football, Iowa City West and Bettendorf will be the game at 4 o'clock on all three frequencies. Before we move on with the rest of the program, we got to squeeze in another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, over 40 locations across the corridor for all your banking needs.
Nate Stanley may or may not have been robbed of Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week honors this week, but today he was named the Manning Award Player of the Week, which goes to the week's top quarterback. With three games remaining, Stanley's five touchdowns away from Iowa's single-season record. We've also got another accolade for Josie Jewell, who was named as one of nine semifinalists for the Lott Impact Trophy, awarded to the nation's most impactful defender. Jewell is the only Big Ten semifinalist. Iowa State linebacker Joel Lanning was named as one of four finalists for the Horning Award, which goes to the nation's most versatile player. He's got 94 total tackles on the season and has also played a recurring role on the Cyclone offense. Iowa women's basketball season is set to tip off tomorrow as they host Quinnipiac, and they'll do so led by junior Megan Gustafson, who today was the only Big Ten player named to the Katrina McLean Award watch list, which goes to the nation's top power forward. The state volleyball tournament rolls on today, and it will do the same tomorrow without a pair of Metro teams. Cedar Falls swept Linmar earlier today in Class 5A, and in Class 4A, top-ranked Xavier was upset by Sergeant Bluff Luton. Tonight after the show, we're going to have a Class 3A semifinal between Xavier and Solon from the Unidome. That game will start at 8 o'clock and can be heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also carry Thursday Night Football beginning at 7. It's an NFC West matchup between the Cardinals and Seahawks. That's on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
Set those fantasy football lineups if you've got a Cardinal or a Seahawk. It is 6:29. We're going to take a quick timeout when we come back. The three of us. Alex, you're usually not around.
I know.
When it's me and Rob. So
I just don't want to impede the progress or say something dumb. It's a lot of pressure, Todd. Can I just throw woodges to you guys?
It's like a Monday Night Football broadcast booth in the old days with Howard Cosell, the three-man booth. We'll see how this works. I think it'll be fine. The more voices,
can I be like Dennis Miller?
The more voice. He didn't last very long.
No,
you don't want to
bad.
Be Dennis Miller or Rush Limbaugh doing football. Neither one of those guys were around for very long. 6:30, although I would love to have Rush on the broadcasts in 2017, just for the pure entertainment factor of what's going on with the NFL. We'll take a quick timeout. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com after this.
Not available in all states.
Hey, Carl, how is it you're always golfing? I thought you owned a business.
I own a recent Irby's robot franchise, Bob.
Robots? What do they do?
They serve seven flavors of delicious frozen yogurt in just 60 seconds with a choice of six tasty toppings. I've got robots in malls, movie theaters, and hospitals, and the franchisor secured these locations for me.
Sounds so easy.
Yep, managing my robots is simple. Each takes about 2 hours of maintenance a week, leaving me plenty of time to practice my short game.
Oh, nice shot. Looks like I need to get some Reese and Irby's robots.
Easiest employees you'll ever have. Just go to frailfranchising.com. Reese and Irby's will supply everything you need. They even secure you high traffic locations. Hey, where are you going?
To learn more about a Reese and Irby's franchise opportunity.
To learn more about your Reese and Irby's Froyo robot franchise opportunity, go now to froyofranchising.com and use promo code 8000. froyofranchising.com, promo code 8000. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 8000.
Cancellation fee may apply, subject to eligibility. Not available in Alaska, Missouri, and Washington. Wait and period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit tocowarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Attention all U.S. drivers. Do you own a vehicle with less than 175,000 miles with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all? In order to save drivers big money on future covered auto repair costs, Toco Warranty is proud to offer an affordable vehicle repair protection plan that can save you big off vehicle repair costs. Those who qualify will have all future covered auto repair bills paid directly to the repair shop. That means you can keep your hard-earned cash when something covered breaks. You can pick your plan, even repair shop. Roadside service, towing, and rental car benefits are included, giving you complete protection. All this at a fraction of what you'd pay out of pocket. Call now for your free 5-minute quote. Call 800-226-9187. 800-226-9187. 800-226-9187.
Welcome back. 6:32, the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And joining us tonight, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com, who's normally with us on Fridays for the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. But the personal issue to attend to tomorrow for my family. So between that and Alex calling the Iowa City West Bettendorf game tomorrow at 4 o'clock in Cedar Falls, we just decided that it would be best to not do a program tomorrow. So Scott and Mark will be on the air from 3 to 4 on the gym class. They're going to have the Carl and Ernie's pick six. Alex and I are leaving our picks, and I think that gives those guys an opportunity to strategize, if you will, because they're going to know all three of our selections because Sean is also selecting in absentia. But
does this give them an advantage?
No. Those guys, they got to wake up really early in the morning to get past you and me. Iowa traveling to Wisconsin, not an early wake-up call on Saturday for that. Ever since they put four lanes through on 151, that's such an easy trip up to Madison now for Hawkeye fans. You can drive up and drive back in one day. But we were talking earlier, Rob, in the program. Wisconsin has won four of the last five meetings between these two teams, but Iowa has won the last two times they've gone to Camp Randall Stadium. What do they need to do on Saturday? I almost said tomorrow because I've been approaching today like it's a Friday. What do they need to do on Saturday, in your opinion, to make it three trips in a row with a victory?
What they did Saturday against Ohio State would be a good start. Just find that balance on offense, I think. I think the defense has proven itself at this point, and it'll be solid on Saturday as well. Not turn the ball over and move the ball offensively, and if that means throwing the ball early, as they did against Ohio State, continue to do that. I think they've got enough now and enough of their playbook out there that it gives Brian Ferentz a chance to design a good game plan against Wisconsin's 3-4, which isn't easy. I'm interested to see how Wisconsin handles this. The pressure is on them. The pressure is on the Badgers. They need to win this to keep their national championship hopes alive. And I know people think that's ridiculous, but they still have a chance to get into the playoff if they win out. So that's it from Iowa's standpoint. I think they just go in and you know, play carefree football, take the momentum they had on Saturday, and bring it up to Camp Randall.
I think a lot of people were asking that asking the question, Rob, why doesn't Iowa throw the ball more to set up the run? And I think they were. I against Minnesota, early on, you saw Nate Stanley throwing the football. Against Northwestern, they had a couple of early drives where they put together long, several play, 12 and 13 play drives where they threw the ball to set up the run. But this last game against Ohio State was the first time where they executed it and converted in the red zone.
And they caught the ball.
They did.
There weren't drop passes. Those drop passes, penalties, things like that, that seemed to always come at a bad time and handicap them and stall drives throughout the early part of the season. I think if Brian had one game to take back, and he mentioned this to us during the bye week, it was the game plan at Michigan State where they just consistently ran wildly through the, you know, between the tackles. And I think they've learned that that's not the way to use him. And for whatever reason, it seemed like Ohio State just never figured out what Iowa was doing the other day. They couldn't cover the tight end. Like, they didn't really do a good job of that in 2013 in Columbus either. and they just allowed Iowa to do what it wanted on offense. And I don't know what we have in Wisconsin yet. They just have not beaten anybody outside of Northwestern, who's playing better than they were when they played in Madison. This really is Wisconsin's first test this year.
Can you tell me who Wisconsin's second best win is against?
Florida International.
Florida Atlantic.
Atlanta.
Lane Kiffin.
One of the Floridas.
Lane Kiffin squad.
They've beaten two teams with an above 500 record, Northwestern and Florida Atlantic.
They're either a paper tiger right now or they're a legitimate team, and this is going to be the test, the litmus test, I think, for them. Either they're going to beat a really good Iowa team that vaulted to number 20 in the college football playoff rankings this week, or they're going to lose to them, be exposed, and probably it'll be 2 weeks in a row where Iowa has dashed the hopes of a team that was wanting to get into the college football playoffs. Nate Stanley was the focus of a lot of questions on Tuesday, and one of them would have been mine if I wouldn't have deferred to Mark Morehouse, but I know how Mark enjoys getting cut off by people, so I wasn't going to fight that fight, but any thoughts or any concerns about butterflies going home for a young kid? It's going to be his first career start at Camp Randall Stadium. He's from Wisconsin. Thoughts in the back of your mind on that one, if you're him?
You guys have been around Nate Stanley. He seems unflappable. The kid is just
robotic,
easy, steady. I think he'll have butterflies, but whether or not it'll affect him, I would lean towards it won't. He looked like he was, playing Ohio State last week was a walk in the park. So he's played on the road now. He's played at Iowa State. He's played at Michigan State. It'll be a tough environment, but I think he's gotten past that point in this season.
Now, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, but Todd and I, after Iowa Media Day, when we spoke to Nate Stanley, I think that was for the first time. All right, we talked to him a little bit during spring ball as well, but we looked at him and we said, man, he kind of has that. He's very quiet, and he kind of has what we thought was that deer in the headlights look. But I think we were mistaken. I think he's just kind of a calming presence to that offense. And like you said, when you see a guy like that playing the sport of football, you usually think, okay, well, he's in over his head. He's young. He's the proverbial deer in the headlights. But he's been anything but that so far. He hasn't thrown interceptions. He hasn't made mistakes. And we've seen flashes of brilliance in his sophomore season.
Yeah, and you go back to the end of August, and he was still competing for the job.
Yes.
So that must mean that Tyler Wiggers is one of the best backups in the Big Ten. I think the hurdle for him, Alex, and you touched on it, was him being comfortable in his own skin and being able to lead that huddle. And he, self-admittedly, when I talked to him on Media Day, said he's not comfortable. He's just an introverted kid who kind of defers to other people. But talking to guys after the game on Saturday at Ohio State, a lot of those guys said, hey, he was yelling in there. You know, after Ohio State would keep coming back early in that game, he was saying, come on, we'll go back out there. We're going to score again. I think he's gotten over that hurdle of being, not comfortable being a leader of this team, and now he's vocally and in his play leading.
Rob Howe with us from HawkeyeNation.com as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight, 6:40, so about 20 minutes to go. Again, our final program of the week, taking tomorrow off. I hope to be back on Monday. Well, the show will be back on Monday. I don't know whether I will be or not because I've got possibly another family thing to attend to now, but Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin's running back, freshman. We talked with Evan Flood from 24/7 Sports, who said up until even the first couple weeks of the season, he thought this guy was going to wind up redshirting this year, and now he's seen as a dark horse candidate for the Heisman Trophy. What is it about Wisconsin and running backs? Now, granted, he's not their typical type of running back, but it just seems like that. Is it the offensive line? Is it as simple as that?
I think it's the biggest part of it. And Kirk mentioned this the other day. You know, John Clay, Ron Dane. You think about all the different running backs that they've had.
Melvin Gordon,
Monty Ball.
James White.
All different shapes and sizes, but they all get it done. So the common denominator has to be that offensive line. This is another kid, though, that was three-star recruit. His only other Big Ten offer was from Rutgers. New Jersey kid. So both of the running backs will be New Jersey kids, Wadley and Taylor. And Iowa and Wisconsin both have done a good job of getting running backs that can be productive in their system.
Chris Ash has got to be kicking himself over losing out on his services.
It's strange to me because when you look at this Wisconsin program, Iowa, you kind of expect that you're going to see repeats of positions that succeed. You know that the offensive line, they're going to produce good offensive linemen and defensive linemen and linebackers, and to a certain extent, secondary players as well, because of the stability. Kirk Ferentz has been there so long. But Wisconsin, there's been some turnover, yet you continue to see the quality of running backs coming through that program, and I'm sure we'll get to it, but you know that they're going to have good pass rushers and linebackers as well.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that, Alex, is they have really good continuity with their assistant coaches. They bring a Jim Leonard back, guys that know the culture there, know what they're doing, and what they're trying to get done. And like Iowa, they're strong at tight end. Fumagalli is one of their better players. And Iowa obviously showed the strength at tight end last year or last week against Ohio State. So, Wisconsin, that's what this game is. It's going to be cold up there. It's two teams that pretty much run into each other. I think it's going to be a lot more like that 10-6 game we saw up there a few years ago than the 55-24 thing we saw against Ohio State. That still is shocking to me. I still think Urban Meyer's in shock. Watching him in that post game the other night was incredible. I've never seen anything like that.
Well, I couldn't get in the room, and by the time I tried a second time, it was over 3:33. But you brought up the tight ends. What does Iowa need to do this weekend to keep Noah Fant and T.J. Hockenson a big part of the offense?
I think they just do what they did last week, and I think they can now work off of that. If Wisconsin adjusts to that, and tries to take the tight end away, Iowa could do different things with their wide receivers, because I think the wide receivers have a chance to. They've now gotten Easley's pretty consistent. It looked like Vanderberg finally took a step forward the other day and was really involved. And I think Amir Smith-Marset is kind of right on that brink of being a guy that can take the top off of this thing. They haven't had a deep type threat, and I think he's that guy. I'm waiting for him to catch one of those big deep balls, and maybe this is the week.
He has the game-breaking speed. Yeah. There's no question about that. He's just a little raw at this point. But I think, like you said, we're not going to see the tight ends catch 9 passes for 175 yards every week. But what it does is it takes away an extra defender in the middle of the field. And it opens things up for the guys on the outside. And we've been talking about that all year. How can Iowa get the running game going? How can they get the running game going? They need to get the pass game going first. And because teams will sell out against the run, which we've seen for most of the year. And if you can't complete some passes on the outside or some tight ends or to change things up a little bit, they're going to continue to do it. So having that threat of the tight end is huge for this offense, and it'll just be interesting to me on Saturday, how much will the passing game be affected by the elements?
It's true.
It's going to be 38, 39 degrees, rainy possibly. I think we're going to
shooting photos, please, no rain.
I think they're going to avoid the snow, but that'll be an interesting thing to watch.
You know, one thing, guys, that I'm wondering if you guys feel the same way, losing Butler early in the season, I think that hurt more than a lot of us thought it
Absolutely.
Would, because we saw that game. It was North Texas, right, where Kelly Martin and Torrin Young came in and kind of had their way in that second half. But I think there was a lot in that playbook that was dependent on Butler and Wadley working together that was taken away. And I still think there are some elements in that playbook with those two guys on the field at the same time that we haven't seen yet.
I think that he was just that running back where you put him out there to get the tough yardage.
Yeah.
You put him out there to get the 3, 4, 5 yards, 5 yard rushes on first or second down. And Akram Wadley's not that type of running back. He's not a between the tackles guy. He can do that, which adds to his versatility, but he's not a 30, 35 carry per game guy. And when you don't have any confidence or the ability to throw another running back out there to get you those type of yards, those tough yards between the tackles, it really takes away from your offense, no matter what offense you run. I don't care if you run a spread or the pro style, but especially in a pro style offense like Iowa's.
And he catches the ball. He and Wildley both can catch the ball, and they both, it's taken Akram a while, but he's better in pass protection yet, and I've noticed that that's something Butler does really well. And that's the thing that was missing with the two freshmen. They still aren't, you know, they haven't come along enough in that area.
Do you think that's why we've seen the coaches have a little bit hesitant to put them out there at times?
Yeah, and then Kelly Martin had that fumble, I think, against Illinois early in the game, and I think that changed things as well. You talked about what Iowa needs to do on offense Saturday. What do you guys feel? You know, Iowa loves to play straight up on defense, but I really think this is a game where you make Alex Hornibrook try to beat you. I to me, that's the game plan going in, but I don't know if they'll sell out in that way.
Well, we were talking about it in the office earlier today, and most certainly not on the pregame show, just in the office, about that very fact that this is going to be a try to beat us through the air approach for Iowa, especially given the conditions.
Yeah.
Shut down the run game and throw the ball out there, because he's got some interceptions and some accuracy issues at times, and we'll see whether or not Josh Jackson can further build that resume. But
Kirk's not happy about the NFL talk.
No, he's not. No.
Didn't somebody, was it Kuiper today, that released that he's now in the first, he has him in his first round? That's
going to
go
yes.
over really well with Kirk.
Yeah, it's he's no longer one of the best kept secrets in the Big Ten.
No.
That's for sure. And
it's interesting. Everybody thought it would be Rugamba who was that guy this year, and Josh Jackson's kind of come out of nowhere.
Rob, let's take a look at a couple of the other Big Ten games this weekend. Michigan State at Ohio State, two teams that at 5-1, whoever wins that game is going to be leading the East Division. Do you see Ohio State coming back from what happened last week? Because those guys, when they ran off the field, and they ran to beat the crowd, those guys look shell-shocked. And Michigan State is a very good football team.
Yeah, the number's really high on that, too. I think it's around a couple touchdowns, which surprised me. So did the Iowa line surprise me, for that matter. I think Ohio State bounces back to get a win this week, but I think it's going to be hard-earned. I think Michigan State's defense is legit. They showed that against Penn State last week. So Ohio State's lucky this game is in Columbus.
Nebraska at Minnesota, an 11 o'clock kickoff on FS1. Minnesota 1-5. Things aren't necessarily going PJ Flex way, but right now, Nebraska and Iowa are tied at third place in the Big Ten West.
What was Fleck doing this week? I saw some picture of him with a graph or
success.
Something.
Success. He was trying to show what success. The first one was a 45-degree angle. Okay. And he said, this is what people think success looks like. And then the second one was a wavy line showing that, look, you have success, and then you take a little bit of a step back, and then you've got to, that it's not a linear progression, and of course he's getting crucified for it. But another big game for Nebraska and Mike Riley, if he's got any hopes of hanging on to his job.
Not to be harsh, but he's dead man walking, isn't
he?
He's
I think so.
But the interesting thing for Nebraska is they need to win this game to get bowl eligible, because next week they're at Penn State and then they have Iowa at home, as we know. So they've got to win two of those three. They're not going to win at Penn State, so they better win this week.
And, a game that a lot of people in the Big Ten West may overlook this week, but Northwestern is 4-2 in the Big Ten West. They've won three overtime games in a row. They've got Purdue at Ryan Field. They're a 4.5-point favorite in that game, but an opportunity Northwestern to pick up their seventh win of the season.
Yeah, and David Blau, unfortunately, is out for the season for Purdue. So, he was their leader. I got to think that Northwestern has enough confidence now where, as long as they don't overlook Purdue, which would be a mistake because Purdue's still dangerous, they're going to go to 5-2.
Did you go to Fran McCaffrey today?
I did not make it to Fran McCaffrey today. I was doing some recruiting stories.
I was going to ask you your thoughts on C.J. Frederick and Joe Wieskamp, the two kids who signed with Iowa yesterday.
Yeah, I've gotten to see Joe pretty much since he was a freshman in high school, periodically throughout his high school career, and he's a really exciting prospect. He's long, handles the ball. He can pretty much do everything on the floor. He defends. He can rebound. CJ Frederick, I think people are less familiar with, just based on his, you know, his location being in Kentucky. But his uncle Joe Frederick played at Notre Dame with Fran McCaffrey. The families have been close for a long time. He's sneaky good. A lot of Big Ten programs were poking around and seeing if they could get him. He had Xavier offer. Indiana was interested in him. So under the radar compared to Joe Wieskamp, but a guy that can to handle that combo guard position, shoots it really well, but his ability to hit mid-range shots, good length as well. So I think they did well. They addressed the front court needs this year with Garza and Nunji, and now they address the backcourt needs with these two kids.
I had said this on yesterday's show and in chatting with some people who also covered Joe's high school career. He was the guy that Iowa got in on really early. It was eighth grade or freshman year or something like that, where they got in on him, and he never wavered with his commitment. He was a guy that I thought that if he opened up his commitment at all, you would see some of, not necessarily Kentucky or Duke or North Carolina, but some of the upper echelon college basketball programs getting in on.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think Fran was, I was reading the transcript from today, Fran, Patrick and Joe played on maybe it was Connor and Joe. One of the two brothers played on. They were like, so Fran started watching him when he was in fifth or sixth grade. So that Barnstormers connection, he had an idea of what, and then Joe just kind of sprang up in junior high, seventh to eighth grade, and grew a ton. And Fran said he went and saw him when he was a freshman in high school and was like, there's no need to wait anymore. Let's offer the kid. And you could tell he comes from a Hawkeye family. I think that also helped. And Iowa's ability and Fran's ability to rebuild this program certainly didn't hurt.
The chemistry is not going to be an issue in the years to come because all of these kids have played AAU ball together. And if you're another Big Ten basketball coach, you're looking at Iowa as a definite team on the rise. 6:53, very strange week here for me, doing the Friday program on a Thursday and being off tomorrow. But, Rob, we appreciate you accommodating us and fitting us into the schedule and coming up here and doing the hour with us. And we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another big board update, and then we'll get out of here for the night. And at 8 o'clock, you'll hear Scott Unash from the Unidome. Back with more after this.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today.